amazing testimony, isn't it? God used someone who was simply humbly walking with him and going about their day, spending time with them, with God, just like they normally would. And he used that to radically transform someone's life. He used that as a spark to do that. And this guy came to know Jesus through that little bit of spark, that just because another coworker of his went to spend time with God and was honest with him when he asked her about what she was doing. Now, we live in an extremely religious time. And notice I said religious, not necessarily Christian. Beliefs, information, ideas, these things are held in very high regard in today's culture. What someone believes is really important these days. We get a lot of information about somebody by finding out about what they believe. And at its core, religion is what people believe. It's an ideology. It's a belief or a set of beliefs that shape the way someone views and interacts with the world around them. Now, in this information and technology age, it makes sense that we are more religious than ever before. We have never known before these kind of levels of information access and ideas access. While at the same time, we have these never before decreases of responsibility and accountability. And so, while I say that we as a society are extremely religious, that comes with a caveat, and that is that our religion is extremely fluid as a culture, isn't it? You know, our society says today, you believe what you want, and I'll believe what I want, and if there is a God, all paths will somehow get there at the same place at the end. And that's good enough for most people these days, even in this day where information is king, because everyone has experienced those times where what we believe is challenged, and we have a choice to make in those times, don't we? Do I stick with what I already know and what I already believe, or do I look for more information? Now, I hope that whenever we are challenged, that the answer is number two, that we look for more information, because we should be growing and learning all the time. If we only blindly stick with what we know, there's a real danger that we will be believing the wrong thing. But there's also a danger in doing that, isn't there? In going with number two, searching out more information. Because with the amount of and access to information these days, there's a very real danger that what the information you're looking for is going to be the wrong information, that it won't be truth. So sometimes it's misguided, sometimes it's intentionally misguiding, but there's a real danger that when we're out there searching for right and wrong, that we're going to encounter wrong. We're going to encounter the wrong information, falsehoods. And people know this. People know that there's a lot of false information out there, a lot of misinformation. But instead of going to the one source that we can always count on to give us truth, God's Word, we invent more sources and we go to more places, believing that somehow, someday, we'll be able to compile and synthesize and sort out what is real truth from falsehoods. And source after source crops up, and each with its own slant on the truth tries to tell us that it has the real truth. And in the meantime, there's that general feeling that out there that, at least with very few exceptions, that says you believe what you want to believe, and I'll believe what I want to believe, and we'll all get to the same place in the end. And that doesn't even make sense when you think about it. That's like saying you believe, Rich, that 1 + 1 = 2, and I'm going to believe that 1 + 1 = 4, and somehow we're going to have the same, we're going to get the right answers to our math problems. It just doesn't work out, does it? Now, people are scared, though, aren't they? They're scared to fully exclude anything for the fear that it might actually be right. It might actually be truth. But at the same time, they do need an ideology. They need a system of beliefs to have any sort of livelihood and a way to interact with this world that's so difficult to live in. So they piece together bits from this place and that place and hundreds of other sources in hopes to construct their own truth and in hopes that it will be close enough to real truth that they will be happy and enjoy whatever this life has to offer and whatever the afterlife has to offer. And if they learn that one of those pieces just doesn't fit, it's off, or they realize it's not true, whether it's for their social moment or whether it's for their life circumstances or whatever, they rip that piece out and they replace it with something that will pass, even if it may not be true, right? If it's passable, it stays. This is true even for many people who would call themselves Christians, followers of Jesus. You know, that's both sad and comforting to me, at least. It's sad to know that Christians would go after and not grab on to truth when they have such close access to it. But it's comforting to know that we're real people, too. We have the same tendencies and issues as everybody else. We're no different. So you have your beliefs, and I have mine. Now, as a Christian who believes God's word, I know that that's not true. That's just a falsehood. So how do I witness to somebody who believes that is true, whether they're professing Christian or not? How do I help show them that truth isn't found in the conglomeration of human ideas, but that it's given to us by the creator of the universe? How do I demonstrate that the ideology, religion, or system of beliefs that I hold dear isn't something that just works for me, but that it's crucial to every human being on the face of this earth? I had the opportunity this past week to talk with a friend of mine, Joe Vitek. Many of you know her as our last police chief, and she did a really great job. Now, in her retirement, air quotes retirement there, she's been a flurry of activity, actually. She started a police training program at the Lake Area Tech College. She's begun several ministries in town that help both adult and child survivors of sexual abuse. This year, she's turning over the reins of that police training program and going down to halftime at the school in order to spend all that halftime, 20 hours a week or more, to do the legwork to bring that program to be nationally accredited. It's already accredited with the state. It already passes everything that the regular law enforcement academy does, but now she wants to do it nationally. She's a busy lady. Now, as we were talking, she mentioned one of the upcoming events that she had on the radar for the ministry that she has to folks who have been sexually abused. And it's a writing workshop. And this writing workshop is going to teach survivors how to write and share their stories or their testimony. Now, I've always loved testimonies because they're so powerful. And you look back over the centuries, and there have been many changes in how the gospel has been presented, from oral tradition to written and back and forth, swings back and forth between emotional and intellectual pleas. Preaching styles have changed over the years. There's been the addition or maybe the reintroduction of the visual arts. They're even trying to, some places, try to set up entire experiences for people to come and encounter the gospel message. But personal testimony has seemingly been there all throughout the years, whether formally or informally, in the family of God, as a steady driving force bringing people to faith. And that makes sense because we all have a story, don't we? Every single one of us in here has a story. We are all in this life trying to do the best we can to live well. And so when we hear or when we see someone else's story, we can identify with that. Or at the very least, we can empathize with a story. So if I had to guess from the testimonies that I've heard and seen, I'd have to say that personal testimonies are likely the most powerful of the gospel presentations because so many people have come to faith through someone's testimony, through someone sharing their story. Now, especially in today's world where truth is thought to be so relative and fluid and personal, a testimony, someone's story, is really powerful in those moments. No one can seriously claim that truth is personal and relative while at the same time attacking someone's story, can they? You know, they might be able to go after ideas and beliefs that you put out there, but if my experience and my story means nothing, then their argument that truth is relative and personal experience, that it sort of falls apart, doesn't it? And so when I think about the question that I asked a moment ago, how do I demonstrate the ideology, religion, or system of beliefs that I hold dear isn't something that just works for me, but that it's crucial to the soul of every human being on the face of the earth? When I think about that question, I have to believe that our personal stories, our testimonies, are a huge part of that, especially in the culture we live in today. You see, people will question the Bible and its claims. They'll question interpretation of the Bible and its scholarship. But they can't question our personal testimony and maintain any sort of integrity in their ideology, can they? Especially if they think that it's so relative and so personal to every single person that brings together truth. Even if they won't admit it to anyone and even if they try to keep from admitting it to themselves, someone's story just goes deeper than that, and they know it. They know that it's a deeper thing. They can't deny that. the Gospel of John, we know that that demonstrates that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. We're going to look at the letters that John wrote, though. They're known as epistles, the 1st and 2nd and 3rd John. And those talk about what someone's life looks like when they become a believer, when they follow Jesus, when they believe that, God's Word is truth, when they make Jesus their Lord. And so we're going to embark on this series through John's letters beginning today so that we can have an excellent idea of what our life in Christ is to be and how we can walk in a way that lights the world, that shines the light of Jesus to this dead and dying world around us. Now, since our testimonies, the stories of, how we get to where we are today, they're so important to shine this light, I want to begin at that point, using John's letters to inform and continue to challenge us towards growth in Jesus. Every follower of Jesus, whether you're saved at a young age or whether you came to know him as your Savior after a long and terrible life, every follower has a testimony. Everybody's got a story. We all do. Now, you might think your testimony is boring or that there's nothing to share from it, but there is nothing boring about God bringing someone who is spiritually dead to new life. There's nothing boring about that. God uses our stories in so many ways, and there's no doubt that he's been effective into reaching into the hearts of the lost through the stories of people. God can use your testimony to reach people that I couldn't come close to. John even begins his first letter by essentially saying this very thing, that the experience of God in a believer's life is shared so that others can come to faith. We're going to read here real quick 1 John 1, 1 through 4. Grab your Bibles if you would and turn there. I'm going to have it up on the screen too if you don't have yours, or you can grab one out of the center of the table. There's extras there. But 1 John 1 through 4, 1, 1 through 4 says this very thing. It says, "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and touched with our hands concerning the word of life, the life was made manifest, and we have seen it and testified to it and proclaimed to you the eternal life which was with the Father and was made manifest to us. That which we have seen and heard we proclaim also to you, so that you too may have fellowship with us. And indeed our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And we are writing these things so that our joy may be complete." John is saying that there is truth out there. Actual truth, indisputable truth. That it was there from the beginning. It's always been true from the beginning of time. That's what John's saying. He's saying also that, he said, we heard this truth and we saw it with our own eyes. We touched it with our own hands. It was made clear to us. And we attest that we saw it and we felt it and we heard it. And we want to share it with you so that you also can have what we have. You can experience what we have experienced. And also so that we can have fellowship with you and that our joy will be complete. We already have joy because we have fellowship with God, but it will be complete when we have more, when we have you join us. Now, he didn't give the details in this short passage, but he's saying that there's a story, a testimony that was given to him, real experiences that he experienced that brought him to the feet of Jesus. And there's power in sharing those experiences, a power strong enough to bring others to Jesus as well. It doesn't come from within us, it comes from God, but there's power in those stories. Our testimonies are a huge part of us, and you can probably tell by your note sheet this morning that we're going to work on them today. I know many of you can tell your stories front ways and back ways, but it never hurts to keep them fresh in our minds and especially in our hearts. And we can also add different things that God's done for us since the last time we maybe thought it through. These testimonies are so important. I'm not going to send you home to work on them. We're going to do it right here together this morning. We're going to take the time to do it right now. So there's plenty of note sheets and scratch paper and pens at your tables and your seat backs and that. So let's grab them out right now and right where we're at, and we're going to work on these things. Now, I want to say right at the outset that I'm not perfect in this by any means, sharing my testimony. You know, I struggle as well with what to say and how to say it and when is the right moment, you know, to drop it all. I struggle with that stuff likely just as much as you do. But there are some things that I've experienced in sharing my own testimony as well as in seeing others share their testimony that I found to be important pieces to get out in this. And so as we build our testimony, there's two main focuses that I'd like to work on that's going to guide us and hopefully guide you in writing these things. And so the first focus is how has Jesus changed me? How has Jesus changed me? What are the major differences in your life now than compared to when you were in the time before you were saved? From before you were trying to be your own God and making your own decisions and not having Jesus as Lord of your life. Now, as you begin writing, you're probably going to need to think about what your life was like before you met Jesus. Not everyone was a murderer. Not everyone was a drug dealer or a hateful person. I know that many of you were saved at a young age, and so you probably never even got to a point where you were able to experience some of those things or even got into that kind of thing. But if that's the case for you, don't focus on the fact that you weren't out killing people. Just focus on what God has done in your life, how he's changed you, the differences he's made to you personally, how he's taken care of you over all these years. And remember, the focus isn't on us anyway. It's on the one who changed us. It's on Jesus. The focus always has to be on Jesus. Without him, we're lost. And so any focus on anyone or anything other than Jesus is not the gospel. It's just a moving story. And so write an opening statement, a few sentences about how Jesus changed your life. You already know these things, but sometimes we forget how blessed we are, how we do have a story so that we can tell others. And so we're going to take a few minutes and do that right now. There's going to be some music playing in the background. Let's get some initial thoughts on paper here. Just a few sentences on what your life is, how your life is different, what Jesus has done in your life and how he's changed you. Okay, well, let's talk about the second focus this morning here. The first focus was how has Jesus changed me since I've been saved? And the second focus is, how can someone else be saved? How can someone else be saved? This is a crucial piece of any story. It helps the person that you're sharing your story with move from, wow, that is a really neat thing that God did in your life, to, I wonder if that can be my reality as well. You know, it doesn't do much good to share all about you and what God did in you and then not share with someone how they can experience salvation too. Now, what and how you want to share this part is going to be as different as the people that you're interacting with and as different as your story as well, because every person is different and every situation is different. But there are some general principles to keep in mind that will help guide you and offer a basis to start from as you share this. And having taken time to write these things out will give you the confidence and a good starting point to begin from. And so it's important to speak in ways that the person or people you're interacting with will understand and identify with. And so using words that are really churchy sounding or need extra defining to people who don't maybe have the same kind of training you have, they're probably going to likely muddy the waters rather than make it more clear for those people. And we know that writing out our testimony will be a difficult task. There seems to be so much weighing on it, so much riding on it, you know? But we have to remember that it's not us or even our story itself that draws people to Jesus. It's the power of Holy Spirit that does that. It's through our obedience, but it's the power of Holy Spirit that draws people through these stories. And so knowing that has helped to relieve me of that pressure that I've felt, and it's freed me up to enjoy more of what John was feeling when he wrote these words, that which we have seen and we have heard and we proclaim to you also, that you too may have fellowship with us. And indeed our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And we are writing these things so that our joy may be complete. Now, can you imagine what he was feeling when he wrote those words? You know, that which we have seen and heard we proclaim also to you. He's just so excited to bring more people along. And, you know, sometimes we let our humbleness or our shyness or whatever else get in the way of sharing our testimony because it's scary. And we feel like there's all this weight on us, like, oh, I've got to say just the right thing or it's going to not work. But that's not true. God uses us. It's his power, not your tongue or your story. He is the one that draws people to us. And so we can be freed up to feel what John was feeling when he wrote those things. And we need to remember, it's Holy Spirit's job to convict people of their sin, their need for salvation. So we don't have to put that kind of pressure on ourselves at all. Now, as we do our part to prepare to share our testimony, the Holy Spirit will give us the words that we need to share. He will use those. He will use those words. It might be scripture. It might be a principle from scripture that he gives us. It could be very simple and short, or it could be really long. He will give you the words. Our job isn't to transform someone's life, but we do get to enjoy the life that God transforms. And that's what John was doing there. He was enjoying lives that God was transforming. All we have to do is simply state what he is leading us to share and get out of the way. That's all we have to do. The basics are all that's needed. So in your testimony, use part of the time there to explain the way God caused you to realize that you were a sinner and that you needed him in your life, that the punishment for sin is eternal death and separation from God and hell. But because God is graceful and loving, he sent his only son to earth, who lived a perfect life, died on the cross, but after 3 days rose again in power over that death. And if someone believes and declares that Jesus is Son of God, making him Lord over their life, they too will be saved. That means that they'll be given eternal life in heaven with God. Now, there's lots of different ways to share that truth. And having it in your own words will make it so much more easy to share and that much more meaningful to the person that you're sharing it with. So let's take some time this morning and write a few lines that share the basics of how someone can be saved in your own words. This is going to help solidify for ourselves and give us the confidence that we need to share when God gives us the opportunity to share. And again, we'll have some music playing and we'll take a few minutes to do this. So, that's right. All right. Well, let's finish up here. I'm hopeful of the short exercise today that you caught some of the feeling that John felt as he penned the words, the first opening words here to his epistles, his letters. This excitement about seeing what God was carrying out on the earth around him. The hope and the reminder of the hope that we have in Jesus Christ. The joy that we get to experience in seeing God work in the life of those around us. It's especially in those that we care about. It's amazing. It's fun to see. I hope you caught some of those things from John, because the life that we have in Christ and sharing the gospel message isn't about fear and dread or sorrow. It's about peace. It's about love. It's about joy. It's about excitement. All these things that John is exuding as he's opening this letter here. It's joy for us to realize that God's only Son came to seek and to save us. That he made full payment for our sin on the cross. That he conquered death, that he lives today as our advocate at the right hand of the Father, that we are fellow heirs, and that one day he will come again to reclaim that throne and perfect us, every single one of us who believe. I hope, too, that because of this joy, you're going to spend some more time this week and maybe hammering out more in detail your testimony and times and people, praying about people that you could share it with. At work, in recreation, other places and circles of your influence that you have that you could share your testimony with. I'm excited about what God's going to do through this series, through John's epistles here, as we dig into what the life of the believer looks like and how we can live in the way that God called us to live. Now, maybe you've done these things before. Maybe you've written out your testimony before. Maybe it's even been recently, but it never hurts to have it fresh in our minds, especially, again, in our hearts. And I hope that in doing this, we'd each be more equipped to shine the light of Jesus' love to this dead and dying world who so desperately needs it, and to walk the walk that lights the world. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much that you are the light of this world. We need that so badly in each of our lives and just to operate day to day. But Lord, even though we enjoy the joy that you have given us in that you have come and made us heirs with you, that joy of the hope of heaven that we have in you, and that is such an awesome joy, Lord, our joy isn't complete. As John says here, it will be more complete. It will be complete when we see you work in those around us that we love and care about as well. And so, Lord, as we reach out to this community and beyond, as we look at the circles of influence that you have placed us in our homes, in our work, in our recreation places, and everywhere else that we go, Lord, that we pray that you would empower those interactions, that you would go before us and show us who we are supposed to talk to, what we're supposed to say, help us to share the testimonies, the stories that you've given to us, Lord, that you might draw more people to you. In Jesus' name, amen.